Welcome to On OC, the weekly podcast for Voice of OC, Orange County's only nonprofit newsroom. I'm the publisher, Norberto Santana Jr. This week, I'm joined by Ada Briceño, the incoming chairperson for Orange County's Democratic Party.
Buenas tardes. Thank you, Norberto, for having me here.
Ada, gracias. Thanks for joining us. Ada, tell me a little bit about why you decided to run for Democratic Party chair. This time around, it was a bit of a contested race between you and former Irvine Mayor Beth Crom, who, by the way, pulled out over the holiday break. And at this point, it seems like it's yours to lose, I guess. On January 14th, that's when the Central Committee will get together and vote on the next party chair. Why did you decide to go for this?
Look, I think we're in a moment. Everybody's been talking and we saw this blue wave. We've been working really hard on the ground for 2 years, and in my case, for 27 years, building the electorate, expanding the electorate, including people of color to understand that their vote is so crucial and that we influence our livelihood, you know, our place of living, you know, our standard of living and so forth. And so it is very natural for me to think about bringing some of the skills that I have and taking some of the skills that the DPOC, the Democratic Party, has to lead us into 2020. You know, we need to make sure, as you know, the Republicans are not going to move away from this. They're going to try to figure out how to take the seats back, and we need to be prepared. We need to go the extra mile or two or three to make sure that we keep our elected seats and that we make sure that we add upon what we already have. And I know that a lot of great groups, clubs, and groups like Indivisible, Wave, you know, they were on the ground affecting change every single day, moving the hearts and minds of voters. And we need to do that more. We need to do that at another level. I have experience in that. In my union experience, we've been very active politically. We targeted the city of Anaheim to make sure that we were breaking the structures that were keeping working families and communities down. First, in quite a few years ago, we fought district elections. We were the first to make sure we had an intricate, you know, very strategic campaign that took us 6 years, but we prevailed. And then the rest of the county, you know, it took a big, you know, effort. The rest of the county, many of the cities went that way. So we want to continue on that path to do that. And I know how to work the campaigns that are going to affect many, many people's lives. We also were in the forefront of making sure that working families had a voice in the living wage that was on the ballot in 2018. And so that was moving $15 an hour to all those employers in Anaheim who received a subsidy, and moving to $18 by 2022.
Now tell me a little bit about what's it like to be a labor leader, and tell me a little bit about your labor background and how that's going to apply at the Democratic Party leadership.
I started off as a hotel worker in 1990, making sure that I signed people up when they registered in hotels. I was a front desk clerk. And I understood in my early age the difficulties of working families and why it was so tough and who had the power and how unfair that was. And shortly after that, I became the leader of the workers in the hotel where I was working, and I was recruited by the union. I held every position for the next 8 years. You know, I started at 18 at the union office for 8 or 9 years. I held every position until I decided to run for the top office. Today, our union is led by 3 co-presidents, and I'm one of the 3. We have 30,000 people that we represent. We have 110 staff with a budget of over $15 million. I think all those things give me the skills to lead the Democratic Party. But the central skill that I would like to put forth for my candidacy is the grassroots. It's believing in the people on the ground to really affect change within their community, within their party. Believing in workers, believing in community that they can stand up and lead as well. So my job, along with all my colleagues, has been to find leaders, to develop leaders, to recruit them, to mentor them, you know, so we can have multiple campaigns and we can affect a larger number of people. The Democratic Party, I believe, needs many more leaders. You know, there are people that are sitting in their living room couches waiting to figure out how they can affect change alongside with all of us. And I believe that we have a responsibility to get them out and get them active. You know, are they people that can run for office? Are they people that can fundraise? Are they people that can knock on doors or make phone calls? You know, that's up to us. We can build our base, we can make it larger, we can bring enthusiasm into our party, and that's what I'd like to do. I've done it in the union, I've done it in the community, and now I want to do it at the party.
Tell me about your personal journey. You're an immigrant. Tell me a little bit about your family's background, mm-hmm. and also what's it like to bring that to the head of the Democratic Party?
So look, I came here fleeing a dictator and a civil war at 6 years old from Nicaragua, and it was difficult. I mean, the story of an immigrant. I struggled in school because I couldn't learn the language. The school system wasn't set up for me. I struggled. I had to get a job very early on to help my parents because we couldn't make ends meet. You know, we were always one paycheck behind, and that created a big, you know, situation and a problem, you know, for our family. But we saw our way through it. My father ended up being an OCA member working for the county, and I feel really proud of that. And he was able to provide, you know, later when he got a union job. So I really believe that when my fellow immigrants, when my fellow Latinos see a person like me leading the party, that they will understand that this too is our party. And I think that the Democratic Party will benefit from opening even the doors wider, because this is the people's party, right? And so enamoring, you know, with our leadership, that they can come and their voices will be heard, and they can also influence what kind of candidates we continue to see. And I think that's a little bit of what also why I feel so happy to be doing this.
Now, that was something you were very unabashed about. When there was a race for the Democratic Party chair, you very vocally in one of my columns said as much as to say it is time to have a person of color as a Democratic Party chair. There are a lot of concerns in the base that the leadership, the elected officials are wider, much wider in the Democratic Party side than the base that's getting them elected. Why did you feel that was important to deal with, and how do you address it moving forward?
Well, I think that, you know, inviting everybody in is the key, right? We have to be asking every single day. We don't have the luxury of waiting for people to come knocking on the Democratic Party's door. Our job is to go get them, right? I believe that the base that we have is essential to move forward. But how many more cities can we target if our base broadens and widens? If we have 500 volunteers versus 250 volunteers, we can double our efforts. We did a great job in Congress, right? All the groups did a great job, but we still have, you know, school board, we have city council seats that are affecting the lives of our constituents, of Democrats across Orange County, and they're not ours. You know, they're the Republican, you know, they're Republican seats, and we've got to one or many at a time extract them and have representation for a Democratic base.
So why do you think that the blue wave happened here? I mean, you were obviously one of those people that were very big on get out the vote efforts, but what do you think fueled it?
Well, I think many things. It's been, you know, something that we've embarked on for a long period of time. Registering voters, making sure that our immigrants are naturalized. This is something that we've been doing year after year. But this great influx of energy that has come in the last 2 years, fueled by Trump, has also been important and exciting, right? And our jobs now is to be able to demonstrate that beyond that, you know, this is the party that they have to stick with, that they have to uplift, and that they have to move forward.
Now, I remember a few years ago, you took over the chairmanship of ACORD, Orange County Communities Organized for Responsible Development. A heck of a challenge. What'd you learn from that experience, and what do you think of the work of ACORD these days in Central Orange County?
I'm the founder, one of the founders of ACORD in 2005. The idea, and it continues to be a very central idea, is that working families and communities, you know, bring and bridge their voices so they can affect change. And like I said, Anaheim was one of the areas along with Santa Ana for us to bring those voices in. And I did have a year and a half where I was, on top of being the chair, also the interim executive director. At that time, we were finalizing the map to make sure that Anaheim had Latino representation. And we were very successful despite the city council trying to stop us. That fueled build, you know, a lot of training for people who are on the ground today. And Accord has naturalized over 7,000 people in a very small period of time. The bulk of them have been done, I would say, from 2015 to present. So I believe that they continue to make a big, have a big effect on the community. They were central to Measure L as well, which is the living wage in Anaheim that I spoke about earlier. And so it's organizations such as those that take time to build leadership on the ground that are going to help us keep, you know, this blue wave going and really change and have people really be able to speak for themselves, which I think is crucial to democracy.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the issues that are happening. Obviously, you're one of the organizers for the Women's March that's coming down the pike. There's also been a lot of union organizing that you've been doing lately at hotels, especially a few in Anaheim, where you have protests that are coming. Tell me a little bit about both those elements.
So the Women's March, look, it was key and crucial for us in this blue wave as well. You know, we first marched and then we voted. We will do that again. We have seen large numbers. We're very excited. You know, in the second Women's March, we saw a larger influx of people of color, which I feel really proud about because, you know, that was, you know, something that we wanted to focus. We want to continue that influx of people of color into the next march. On January 19th, we invite everybody to be there. But again, we're taking the same theme. When you're around thousands of people that believe, you know, in families, that believe in communities, that believe in higher wages, you know, you feel this empowerment and it reminds you that you're not alone. So we are again going to march and then right back into the ballot. So we're very excited about that. I'm very proud of this community to have 25,000 people show up. We're pushing for higher numbers this year.
What about on the organizing front? What's happening there?
At the Irvine Marriott, workers are, they're actually having their election to form a union. There's 122 workers who have been fighting for the past few months and facing intimidation for their efforts to unionize. They've been facing age discrimination. They've been facing sexual harassment, many, many difficulties that they've been facing. And they're finally saying, we're not going to take this anymore. We're going to the ballot and we're telling our employer that we must be represented. So the community has gathered around them and is uplifting them. So that's one crucial fight in South County, which it's important for the growth of our union. But we have 1,100 workers in Anaheim who for the last 2 months have been fighting to make sure that they're uplifting their wages. They're asking for a pension for the first time. They don't have a pension. People work way into their 70s or, you know, late 70s. And they are saying enough is enough, right? They want to make sure that they're not two paychecks away from homelessness, right? So they're asking for a dignified wage. They've been protesting in front of the hotel. And you won't believe this, but on Saturday, one of our organizers was arrested for peacefully protesting. He was put up by the hotel, but there was a citizen's arrest and he was taken in. And the next day we had 400 community and workers picketing in front of the hotel.
Now, some people have asked questions about having you as the Democratic Party chair, that there will be sort of this connection between union interests and the party chair. How will you handle that?
So look, I say a couple of things, but one of the things that I think is important is that the values of the Democratic Party are the values of my union and of labor. And I also believe that the values of the party, you know, are should and are also the values of the labor movement. I would like to sit down with the group when we get elected and speak. If there are issues where I'm in a difficult situation, really, the central committee, right, the Democratic Party, those votes, everything is put up for a vote. I will honor and I will uphold whatever it is that, you know, whichever candidate, whatever issue it is that the majority votes on, and I will be the chair that will, you know, make sure that I champion whatever cause it is that the Democrats want. And that will be my job.
I've noticed this year that there's a lot of different slates. I keep hearing the People's Choices. Talk to me a little bit about the split between, or if there is a split between the Democratic Party, between these business Democrats and Union Democrats. Is that a big split in Orange County? Not?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, there are different parts of the party, right? There are folks that are, you know, very progressive. There are folks that are not, you know, as progressive. And so you're going to find, you know, the different camps sort of run together. And, you know, frankly, we need every faction of the Democratic Party to come together going to the state convention. And it's an exciting time. I'm very excited to actually go to those conventions because we're going to find leaders there. We're going to find leaders to bring in into the local parties, into the local clubs. I've been, you know, around the county. I've received such a great reception throughout the county about my leadership and about my running. And I'm anxious to be able to put people into the clubs that are doing the great work of, you know, not only, you know, giving money to candidates, but walking, having effective walks and phone banks for them. Another huge component, and you asked, you know, what did I get out of being in Accord? My fundraising abilities really, you know, stepped up a whole lot. I had no choice but to find the money to make sure that we were able to effect the change that we needed. And in the short period of time that I was there, we raised $250,000 reoccurring every single year for our citizenship work and for our activism, you know, around ballot initiatives and so forth. So I feel very confident that when you believe in something so strongly, you know, that you are able to put in the money. So I would love to help build the infrastructure to the Democratic Party to make sure that we're, you know, helping finance, but also making sure that people understand and not only vote one time as a Democrat, but that we keep building their method of voting and that we make them, you know, strong Democrats.
What do you think the challenges for the party will be here? And what are some of the elections? You got a couple elections coming up fairly quickly. What's your sense on them?
I think we're going to have to work really hard to make sure that we elect Loretta Sanchez to the supervisor's race. That is coming up really soon here. It's in the month of March. So we're going to have to turn this around quickly. We don't have a whole lot of time. We've got to make as many phone calls as possible. We got to knock on as many doors as possible. And I'm anxious to get seated to make sure that I help direct that and make that happen in collaboration with her team.
Where else do you think the rest of the year goes after that district? Well, I mean, look, you'd have two supervisors at that point.
That would be amazing. Well, look, we don't have a moment to rest. We have to figure out how we're getting more Democrats registered. We have to be, I'd love to look at the registration and where people in each city are, but we need to have friendly competition amongst our clubs, amongst our groups, amongst our Democrats, and make sure that we are, you know, putting ourselves very high bars to make sure that our registration moves up and steadily is moving up. The candidates throughout the county are doing it. The Democratic Party has to also do it and figure out how to double quickly. And, you know, we have to raise funds. We have to build our bench. You know, we have different cities who have high registration, but we don't have the candidates that are set up. We have to enamor them. We have to train them. We've got to mentor them. And we've got to make them understand what their leadership will mean to residents in those cities for democratic values.
You know, that's something that Katrina Foley, in the new mayor of Costa Mesa, got a lot of credit for in this last election cycle, that she mentored a slate.
Amazing.
Why do you think that's not happened in other parts of Orange County?
She's an astute leader. She has gone through a whole lot of things in her city. I think that is a model that we should look at. In that district, you know, you had a whole lot of people working. And so we were able to see that down the ballot. We had Harley on the ballot. And so that trickled down to the races below. And we have to multiply that. We have to make sure that we are moving that forward. What I hear, and I've got to look at the numbers myself, but in Harley's area, in almost every city, we picked up Democrats, you know, in all his areas, Cotty, you know, and I'm sure that Cotty's probably between Katie and Harley, but it was amazing, you know, that we were able to pick up some seats down the ballots. And that's why it's going to be so important to protect our congressional seats, but make sure that we're able to, again, have it trickle down to other races, state races and city races as well.
Ala Briceño, new party chair for the Orange County Democratic Party. Thank you so much for joining us today and staying in touch with us moving forward.
Muchas gracias.
Make sure to stay connected with us at the Facebook page Check us out on iTunes. There's been an entire election season. Most of the voices here in Orange County you can listen to on the podcast. Feel free to check them out. And obviously, in the meantime, stay in touch with us at the Facebook page. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. This newsroom is here for you.